All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? It's a Monday. Not a very fun day if you're a fan of the Houston Texans, as that debacle is over and Bill O'Brien's none too happy with it. The usual suspects are here, present and accounted for. Nick is behind the glass where he belongs. Barry and I are in studio ready to go.
Like an animal!
And coming off a very, very entertaining and fun Friday, post-parade at Proof Rooftop Lounge.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was cool meeting everybody. Shout out to everyone that came up and said hello with the fist bumps.
The new
said
Dell.
Said they still thought I was black.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody that came out. That was a fun time indeed. I always enjoy meeting the listeners.
And the one thing we didn't do, which is the reason why we were all going to get together in the first place and have Nick come from the station over, was the fact that we were going to do a photo and we didn't do it.
Damn it. Totally forgot.
Mike, from the photo booth, was texting me, way to stand me up on a photo or something like that. I'm like, dude, you didn't even ask. I mean, we were all over the place. He's like, oh, yeah, I asked. When you were next to Barry, and then you and Barry and Nick were going to do one, it didn't. I'm like, oh, that's the one thing that really stands out, is that me and Barry and Nick didn't do one.
We ate well. People bought me Crown and Diet Coke, which is always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Dr. Dre on 290 bought one. So, Lance, who was Newdale. They were calling him Newdale.
Yep.
He was a character. It was cool to meet Dr. Dre on 290.
He finally passed out, right?
He did. He passed out, and I took pictures of him and tweeted him.
Yeah.
And he's the dude that tried to hug me and almost got fought.
He was ready to hug you like two times, and I was and he was going to come up from behind you.
I'll be the first one to admit that I can have a good time with anyone, but I have lines. Please don't cross them. Please,
start centrally tracing his lips first before you give him.
At some point, we're going to have to let this go because
somebody's going to do that because they were tweeting that.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to at some point that we're going to have to move on to a new joke / prank because someone's going to get fought over this and it's not going to be nice.
It could be funny.
No. Oh, really? How funny is that going to be, Joel, when I have to fight a listener because of you? That's not going to be funny.
Nick, what do you think?
Funny to Joel.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Also, shout out to the neighborhood. Remember when I was telling you guys that I was going to host trivia night just so I could berate my neighbors?
Yep.
I did it.
You didn't get paid for it?
No. I got paid in Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which I'm okay with.
Okay.
I'm just fine with. In fact, currency-wise, I consider it to be about $20. I think each cup is worth probably $5 American in deliciousness.
Your rates are going up.
Yeah, I hosted trivia night for my neighborhood on Saturday, and it was BYOB, so I took some Crown out there. And first of all, the diversity in our neighborhood is lacking.
Okay.
Not that I would expect a lot of diversity at trivia night on a Saturday. It's usually older white people with nothing else to do. What? No, say it. Say it.
No, that's all right.
Come on now.
No.
Don't do that.
It's all right.
Anyways.
A lot of people that love our president.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
See?
Now I'm going to have to read all the texts, Joel.
It's fine.
Oh, God. No, I know. I'll just delete them. I don't care if they're crying already. Anyways, it was kind of fun. You know what I mean? Like, I hung out with this lady named Erin who put it all together. She was awesome. She was real cool to hang out with.
Wasn't she the one you were worried about at first? Because she was like, no negotiations, but she just said you should do this or something?
Yeah, she's the one that asked me to do it. Okay. But, yeah, no, she was fine. She was funny, actually. But there was a table full of dudes, and one of them is a listener. And it was the funniest thing of the entire night was we were going around doing team names. Now, I want to set the scene for you. The average age in the room at most tables is probably 55 to 65.
Really?
Gray hair, drinking wine, cheese plate. I'm like, what the hell
am
I doing here?
These are all your neighbors?
Yes. So there is a table full of dudes and a table full of chicks that are my age. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's, but a lot of the tables, I would say, are, mid to upper 50s, conservative.
Borderline retirement home material?
No idea why I'm here, really, because I'm like, yeah, you guys are not my crowd at all. You're going to hate this. The next 2 hours plus are going to suck for you guys because I'm going to make jokes that you're not going to like, and I don't care because I'm not getting paid. So you could all go to hell, really, is my thought. But there's a table full of dudes and a table full of chicks, and I think a lot of them are husband and wife. They just split up. But my favorite part of the whole night was right off the bat. We're like, okay, let's get the team names documented. So the table full of dudes was on my left. So I was like, all right, we're going to start with you guys. What's your team name? And they're like, our team name is Lesbian Barbie Comes in Her Own Box.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Lesbian Barbie Comes in Her Own Box. And I was like, okay. And the whole room is just like, oh my God. And I am dying. I can't stop laughing at this because I'm like a child, number one. And number two, these old people are losing their minds. Like, oh, that's just inappropriate. I was like, oh, I can't wait. I hope they win. I hope they win every round so I can keep saying their name. It just became too long. I wasn't getting paid by the word, but so I was like, but that is probably the best team name I've ever heard in the history of trivia. Not that I've been around it a lot.
I wish I saw you like being one of the only, if not the only person laughing, because that would have been the best part.
Everyone else,
if you're an outsider looking
in. It was just
in.
Like, what did he say? And I was just, oh God, it was so good.
Sure,
and
then, they wouldn't say that anyway?
And then this lady named Polly, who I found out later, she doesn't have a house in our neighborhood. She just owns a lot, but she shows up for everything. Like she's part of the hood. Apparently she's crazy. I don't know. She's nuts. But she starts correcting me. And you guys know how much I love being corrected. She corrects my pronunciation of, I think I pronounced Zambia. I guess it's Zambia or something like that. I don't know. I said it wrong. And she corrected me. And I just let it go. And I have to read the question twice. And then people can ask me to repeat it. So I read the question. And I said Zambia. And she corrected me on it. However it's supposed to be. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to say anything. And then I read the question a second time and said it the same way I said it the first time because I don't care.
Yep.
And she corrected me again. And then someone asked me to repeat it later and I read it again the same way and she corrected me. And I stopped right there. And I was like, look, don't correct me anymore. I don't want there to be trouble tonight. Okay. So don't correct me. And then I pronounced somebody's name wrong and she corrected me again. I said, Polly, I don't know who you are. But I don't really care. Like, I was, like, literally going to fight this old lady at a trivia because she wouldn't stop correcting me. I was so angry. And then, like, people were getting upset at the rules. Like, they were mad. Like, I was supposed to read a question twice, and then everybody had a minute to answer it or 2 minutes or whatever. And then we moved on to the next question. And somebody said, hey, I didn't hear the last part. After I did it two times, somebody was like, I didn't hear the last part. Can you read it again? I was like, yeah. So I read it again. And, of course, Polly's like, that's the third time they can't have their, they should be disqualified. I'm like, are you serious? Do you not have any other life to live that you're this wrapped up in trivia with just some people from the neighborhood? People were genuinely upset that the table full of guys was cheating. They were cheating. They had this rule where the first people to turn in their answers got a +2 points for the round. So they would just wait until I finished the last word of the sentence, and they would just take the paper up there because they knew they would get 2 points no matter what. And it pissed all the old people off because they couldn't move quick enough to get up there.
And what are they playing for again?
Nothing!
Oh, boy.
The 99-cent liquor from Specs. You know how they have, like, the little, like, did you know that Patron makes Kahlua-style, like, a coffee liqueur? I had no idea, but that was in the basket. The little airplane bottle sizes. Yeah. It was just a basket full of that. And I'm like, they were visibly upset. There were people that were really mad about what was going on. And at one point I just told him, I was like, I'll just leave. Like, I don't need to be here. It doesn't mean that much to me, but it means that much to you guys. And I just can't handle seeing you guys actually upset over trivia. It was the most hilarious thing to see.
You went from the best of times on Friday to the worst of times in trivia.
I mean, other than the team name, I had some fun hanging out with Erin. I mean, she was hilarious, and I can't believe how serious people take that.
How did you end up living in an old folks' neighborhood?
I don't know what happened. I really don't. I don't know if it's, who knows, dude.
Because that neighborhood watch and all that has got to be just out of control when they start getting into, like,
I was going to open up with the opening line of just saying I really enjoyed the diversity here in trivia night and just watch all these people,
look around the room going, what he said?
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, well, we got a full show for you today. We've got lots to get to. Of course, your Texans. Oh, the World Tour of the Houston Astros. The Rockets win, and boy, did the beard go off. And a whole lot more. Charlie Pelillo is going to join us from 1:30 to 2 like he does on Mondays and Fridays after a couple of misses due to him traveling for the World Series and us being on remotes. But if you want to join the show, we always like you to be a part of it. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I want to tell you guys about the fantastic program is the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's all about Houstonians helping kids in need in the Houston area. And with Hurricane Harvey doing all the devastation that it's done and a lot of vehicles being put out to pasture where you just need to have someone pick it up with a tow truck or put it out in the scrap heap, it's not running. And even if it is, it's not running right. And either insurance covered it or you just need to get rid of it and you're going to have to pay more to try and get a tow truck. Now you don't have to do that. Your donation helps kids in Houston and they will come get it from you. All you got to do is call Houston Cans Cars for Kids, 713-225-4226. Log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do the paperwork. You get a nice tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You also get a $50 gift card. That's when the process really begins. Your donation turns into resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It could be a warm meal. It could be bus fare, book money, eyeglasses. All the things that can be a distraction if they don't have them, that could be great resources if they do, are provided with your donations. So if you can donate, please consider 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com, right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Brissett again. He throws up. Field caught by Hilton. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. Cuts back in at the 35 and goes down at the 33. They said nobody touched him. He's going to go all the way in and touchdown, I think.
Yes.
Yes. A touchdown, 80-yard pass play.
It's the most frustrating part of it is the fact that there was nothing that they were doing that we weren't prepared for. Coaches did a great job of coaching us up, and it's just probably the most frustrating game of my life, you know. It's one of those deals that you just, in the beginning, I just wasn't making the throws, you know, and the guys are open, and I'm not going to give you the politically correct answer and say, like, well, blah, 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 like, we can get better. Just, no, it's just, I got to make the throws. I play like crap.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Thanks to the Colts Radio Network for the audio of the T.Y. Hilton clip and also Tom Savage's postgame audio following the debacle that was a Colts win over your Houston Texans yesterday at NRG. I really thought, for as bad and hard to watch as that game was, that they were going to pull it out late. Because as bad as Savage was, the throw that he made to Hopkins in the end zone, whether it was intentional or not, turned out to be one hell of a throw and catch.
Hey, good for him for getting on the board with a touchdown pass.
It's better than hearing incompletion Savage in the press box, right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like that's all they were saying in the press box, like on the PA system, just incomplete.
Well,
pass by Savage intended for this guy.
He threw 44 times,
yeah,
and he completed 19, so you heard it a lot.
You heard that a whole hell of a lot. And then, you know, I don't know, for one reason or another, but all of a sudden you wait, and on the last drive of the game, you actually start moving the football, and you start making progress, and you get inside the 20, and you got plenty of time, and then, oh, before you know it, there's one play left, and there's only 2 seconds, and you get sacked before you even try and throw it, and it's over.
Yeah, in his post-game press conference, Bill O'Brien was saying he didn't want to talk about clock management. Well, you know what? You should, because
yes,
it was screwed up.
Yep.
It got screwed up. If I'm not mistaken, going into halftime, he was calling timeouts when he probably shouldn't have been calling timeouts as well. So it was poor clock management on his part going into half. He got bailed out by the defense getting a fumble. Otherwise, it looked like the Colts were going to go down and score because he's calling timeouts. And then at the end of the game, it's just, I mean, you just can't run an offense like that. Now, you can call it an experience. You can call it whatever you want. But to just ignore it and say we're not going to talk about it, you're just being stubborn because it was an issue.
Last time I checked, it's not up to you to be able to dictate what you're going to talk about, what you're not going to talk about, or what the media wants to ask you about based on what just happened and how bad it looked. And the clock management was another big issue. And there's so many things to get to in this game, but the question remains things that you and I have talked about over and over again ad nauseum here, which is either the night and day difference in play calling when it's anybody other than Deshaun Watson is just ridiculous. And then if you don't have Deshaun Watson available, find someone that at least can somewhat be as athletic or execute somewhere near the way he was executing, at least from the standpoint of opening up the offense because he can have run-pass options, he can get to the edge, he can move up in the pocket, he doesn't stand still. It's so frustrating, and it has to be just 100 times more frustrating for diehard Texan fans to get so excited about where this team was even a week ago and see highlights during the game of the Seattle game and know how close and exciting and high scoring that was, and then have to watch paint dry.
Yeah. So part of it, I think, is Savage's fault. Part of it is that offensive line.
The offensive line, no doubt, should get,
you know, when you talk about having someone athletic like Watson, Watson is able to make that offensive line look better.
Yep.
Because he's able to elude inside of the pocket and get out of the pocket and move around a little bit and throw on the run. And Savage just can't do that. He had one throw that I recall on the run, and it was just god-awful. But, I mean, he didn't have a clean pocket to work with for most of the game, it felt like. And when he did, I think he made bad choices, you know?
He's not going through his progressions. He's not, you know, for one reason or another.
Triple coverage,
yeah,
four guys around Hopkins in the end zone. Why are you throwing those balls?
Yeah, he over-targeted Hopkins. I mean, he just he forced a lot of passes to Hopkins that he didn't need to. And for a guy that gets criticized for holding the ball too long, I mean, you'd think he'd see the field a bit better, and he doesn't. He just doesn't.
Well, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, on my point about the progressions, too, I mean, normally there's 3 and 4 and 5 progressions in a play, and it just seems like he's focused, to both of your points, but to Nick, what you were saying, too, he's just laser-focused on one option, one way, one guy, and if it's not there, well, I'm going to try and get it in there anyway. One of them, he got in there through 3 defenders, and I was like, how the hell did that ball get through?
I'm sure he didn't know.
Untouched.
He targeted a lot of guys, and it almost seemed like he knew the pass wasn't going to happen. And he, I'm not trying to say he's given up on the play, but it just looks like he was throwing the ball out of bounds way too much as well, you know. And that's just, it's not going to get anything done. It's not going to produce anything on offense. So, yeah, he definitely has a lot of work to do. He has a window of opportunity just to prove that he can be a backup quarterback, and he's not even doing that.
There was a play at the end of the game that I actually paused, rewound, and took pictures of. And I'm looking at him on my phone because I just wanted to make sure that I had this right. But Anderson is running an out route. So you've got Ellington's on the field, Hopkins, Anderson, and Fuller. And basically Fuller does his guy falls down. And this is 3rd and goal at the end of the game. His guy slips, and Fuller gets separation. And if Savage just makes the throw, looks that way and makes the throw, that's ball game.
Yep.
And he just doesn't. He doesn't make the throw. Fuller was I mean, you know, when you say open in the NFL, open is a half a step.
Sure.
But the move, I mean, it was basically a flag route. I mean, he fakes inside. He cuts outside. The guy stumbles. If you put the ball in the air as soon as he stumbles, that's it. That's ball game. He just doesn't, because he was, like you just said, Nick, he's sitting there, or maybe you, Joel, but he was, all he was doing, he's staring
laser
down
focus.
Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's staring down Hopkins. They made a comment during the game, which I think anyone that knows, that's ever even played Madden could tell you. He wasn't looking the safety off. He was just, you knew exactly what he was going to do the entire
time.
That's
where I was going with the progressions, and also with the progressions, if you know you're going to the left side, if you know that that is your first option, then you should be looking initially to the middle of the field or to the right. But to your point, too, late in the game, when the safeties are just dialed into where your eyes are, you can't stare. I feel like on the day that Brock Osweiler reemerged as a starter in this league, maybe it only being for 1 week, I feel like we're talking about the same things we were talking about with Brock all over again, because watching him, he never looked off a safety. He never looked one way through the other way. He was dialed in on who he was going to throw to. And to your point, Barry, he wasn't scanning the entire field. If he knew the play was supposed to start out going, or his best options was to go to the left side, he was only looking from the middle left. And he missed a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this play alone, you can see that Hopkins is doubled. The safety is cheating onto his side of the field. He's actually going to be tripled once the play happens. The linebackers drop into zone coverage, which takes away the tight end over the middle of the field. You had one-on-one coverage with Will Fuller on the outside, running a fade route, basically. And you can even see O'Brien talking about running a fade route. You had one-on-one coverage, fade route. His guy stumbles. You're not even looking that way. It's just frustrating because you're like, man, they had opportunities. And this is one of those games where when I said on Friday that the Colts aren't good at a lot of things, they're not. I mean, this is not a good football team.
And if you don't have DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of the out routes that you're talking about and a lot of the sideline patterns that he was throwing to, DeAndre Hopkins took balls that were almost impossible to get a finger on for most receivers in this league and made them to where they almost had to review them. But other than that, every one of his out routes or any kind of routes that he was throwing to the sidelines were 3 feet past the sideline. They weren't even in a position where you can make it a 50-50 ball. And that's all the things that we used to say about Brock. They were so frustrating to watch. Yeah. You don't want to bombard it all on one guy, but this was a lot about just one guy.
Yeah, he didn't play well. He's not a good NFL quarterback, and that shows. He had a 15.3 QBR. Huh. Jacoby Brissett had a 67.9. Jacoby Brissett threw for 308 yards. So let's not exclude the Texans secondary from this. T.Y. Hilton torched them twice. One of them was just bad defense. I mean, have to know you touch them.
Yeah, just touch them.
That's 80 yards. So he had two plays for 80 yards and 45 yards, which is just bad. I mean, you just can't give that up. I mean, they did get to Brissett three times, that front seven. I thought they played pretty well. But the secondary played bad again. The offensive line played bad again. They couldn't run the ball. I mean, it's just a whole mess.
Your point is very valid. The offensive line was horrible, and without Dwayne Brown, even though Dwayne Brown hasn't been with the team a whole lot, when he was for 1 week, he was on the field for almost every play, and he conceivably made them somewhat better. But now they're really, really, really bad, and it is a crapshoot on any given play who's going to, you know, fall down or allow one of the pass rushers to get through. But it obviously didn't help things with Tom Savage, because he felt like the minute he got the ball, he was going to be under the gun, and that probably didn't help him in trying to find his progressions and make the right reads.
Yeah, I mean, it's a total team loss.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to say it.
Not a good thing.
Nope.
All right, so Charlie Palillo is going to join us next, and we're going to talk for the next half hour. I'm sure we'll talk some Texans, some Astros, catch up with him because it's been a while. But right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They are locally owned and operated, and they are here for you for any of your needs when it comes to tires, wheels, Kevlar wraps, coating, lift kits, all the off-road accessories you need for your SUV or your pickup truck, and so much more. They do it all, and they do it all as Houstonians, hoping that you will come back each and every time you need anything to do with your wheels, your tires, or your automobile. Mike and Tammy Gust have owned the business now and run it for over 15 years. I've had tons of work done there. I'm a customer, and I return because of the fact that they take care of you, and they make sure they do quality work. They're honest and upfront. They don't try and pull the wool over your eyes, and you get what you came there for and nothing more. So many times you go to these big tire and wheel stores, they're going to tell you immediately you need a new tire. You got to replace that rim. It's not true. And the stock rims and tires that they have in the warehouse will allow them to replace even stock rims and tires from your brand new or your vehicle that's been you've had in the family for years and years, but you want another Chevy or Ford rim. You don't want a customized rim. You don't want it to look different. They got them. They can take care of you. That's what they do, and that's how they do business. That's why people keep going back again and again. 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. And do yourself a favor. Go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com. Check out all the different ways that they have sported up lots of cars in the Houston area with those lift kits, Kevlar, Kevlar wraps, off-road accessories, all the different things between wheels and tires that you want to do for your car. They can do it for you, and they can do it with a smile. Check them out, 29834th Street, just outside the Loop, or AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We had one timeout left in the game, so there's no doubt everybody's got to be faster. You know, get the call in as fast as we can, and we got to get lined up faster. But, you know, it's, again, like I always say, I have to coach better. It starts with me, goes from there. But, you know, in that situation, you're saving that timeout for a key fourth down call. That's what you're saving the timeout for. So I really don't want to hear any BS about clock management. I really don't want to hear it this week. He tried to do the best he could. We got lined up as fast as we could. We practiced 2 minutes every week, and we just didn't get it done.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That was Gary Kubiak. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was Bill O'Brien using a Gary Kubiak quote that all, it seemingly, it's like a mandatory when you coach the Houston Texans. You have to say that's on me. But that was in regards to what we were talking about in the earlier segments, too, about the fact that he just didn't want to hear it about clock management. He wasn't having it. He wasn't having a good day. But speaking of someone that's had a pretty good couple of days in the recent weeks, our good friend Charlie Pilillo is back with us today after the jet-setting World Series coverage.
It's not jet-setting.
You were going back and forth.
5:30 a.m. Southwest flights.
Well, I mean,
up
you're not
front,
getting,
though, right?
I mean, I know your personal plane is in maintenance right now, yeah, but well, that was still, I mean, good to have you back first and foremost, because then after that we had some remotes and things, but that had to be one of the best, if not the best, World Series you've ever seen.
As a life and career experience, awesome. And as a living in Houston covering sports, well, you're intimately familiar with the only one that would compare, the Rockets championships, in your case, starting with the second one there.
Yep.
And as a baseball first guy, if I could only have one, if there is one championship from now forward that I'd hope to get to see through to the finish line, it would have been baseball. So doing it the way they did it, if not the three biggest brands in the sport, you know, Cardinal fans, Cub fans, Giants fans might say, what about us? Well, shut up, all of you. I mean, the three top payrolls in baseball in succession, yep, if nothing else, Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers to win it in Game 7, and if you want to throw in the backdrop of post-Harvey, fantasy become reality, as opposed to Bill O'Brien detached from reality. Now, at least he's dynamic when he speaks, as opposed to Gary Kubiak, who needed an upgrade to become bland.
Right.
But Billy Bluster, he doesn't have to listen if he doesn't want to hear it. It's three times in five losses that his game and clock management has ranged somewhere from questionable to flat-out incompetent.
Twice in this game, second half.
I don't care if he doesn't want to hear it.
Second half and into the game. I mean, into the first half and into the game.
I got away with it. I'm sure the scheme was that,
yeah,
the Colts would drop back and risk a turnover and that the Texans defense.
That's what I'm saying. Lamar Houston bailed him out.
Right. But look, there's a promo airing right now with Barry and I talking about this very subject, but it was a couple of games ago. It comes up over and over again. We've talked about the fact that, look, now he says he's too busy with the offense and calling plays, but I go back to when in Mexico City, Leckler had to tell him to throw the red flag. You know, there's all these different things and all these different questions, and I don't know who you are as a coach. We were talking about in our pre-production meeting that you can come into a press conference and tell the media what he doesn't want to hear about.
He should go back to college because he behaves as if he's at Penn State, whereas Nick Saban has the wins. Belichick has the wins. O'Brien's resume is a couple of cheesy AFC South championships, end of story, that he can lecture the media and fans at his will and that his word is gospel and law, which is why I call him Billy Bluster. I like the way he commands a room. I think he runs his team pretty well, but too often his in-game decision-making is either choked or stupid. And if you didn't catch his latest from his day after today, asked about the possibility of Kaepernick, he likes the quarterbacks that he has. Is this for poker night, or is this to compete in the National Football League?
Yeah.
Look, when Deshaun Watson goes down, it's a devastating blow. But to say, I like the quarterbacks, what me worry here? You just sound like an idiot. Because if you like the quarterbacks you have, when the quarterbacks you have are Tom Savage, Matt McGloin, and T.J. Yates, well, you're Ivy League educated, but you're not very football street smart.
Well, he did say in his press conference, because I guess, I don't know who it was. Was it if it was Sarah Barshop or John McClain or somebody asked about, did you guys talk to Kaepernick? And he was very defensive even about that. But he was like, yeah, we talked to everybody. And they were like, so you discussed Kaepernick? And he was like, yeah, everybody gets discussed. But yes, we talked about Kaepernick. And then he almost like flipped the script. He's like, why? Is that a bad thing? Should we be in trouble for that? It was like, no, you should have. If you discussed it, why did you exclude him from the list?
Here's what
that
I
makes
said
no
earlier.
Sense.
I said just a short time ago, I said, it's just amazing to me that a guy can open up the playbook to like the 956th page and keep going when you have Deshaun Watson. But the minute you don't have him, you go back to watching paint dry and being the most generic, predictable, horrible play caller I've seen in I can't even remember how long. It's just, to me, there's just too much of a discrepancy, and what it just keeps over and over in my head. I just keep going, what the hell's going on?
And I will further go back to Bill O'Brien through an entire offseason and preseason deciding conclusively yep. that Tom Savage yes. was the right. Within the locker How? Room, within the organization, doesn't there have to be a, you've got to be kidding me about this. Speaking to the Kaepernick.
That's a DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, remember? Well, he was on that. He was on that as well, wasn't he?
I don't think Clemson produces a whole lot of men's types.
Ooh, shots wow. fired.
Other than Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
But here's on Kaepernick, I just want to say this. I think what needs to happen, and O'Brien is in a tough spot because the personal beliefs and everything that's going on with this, and Rick Smith, the African-American general manager, who knows what his personal beliefs and positions may be relative to Bill O'Brien, relative to Bob McNair, who I think it's fairly clear over his dead body, would Colin Kaepernick be signed here? Doesn't it seem fair that Bob McNair should come out and say, over my dead body, Colin Kaepernick would be signed here? Because Bill O'Brien's looking like a village idiot. Well, I'm happy with the guys we have. Savage, McCloy, and Yates. We're in pretty good shape here.
Well, that's
Rick
why-
Smith, the general manager, who knows where he is in this. That Bob McNair, again, compartmentalizing the whole making himself look a bit foolish with messing up the metaphor, but those grossly overreacting to a very normal expression that McNair mangled, the whole inmates can't run the prison right. / asylum, that McNair needs to be the one to say, I don't care what my football guys think. We're not signing Colin Kaepernick, and if it's compromising somewhat the rest of our season, so be it. This is my call. I own the team. In the end, they are the McNair Texans. They are not the Houston Texans. Forget it. Colin Kaepernick, no way, no how, if that is indeed the position.
But here's the thing. Okay, then if you're not going to do that, that's one thing. And it, one of the exhibit D, I guess, of teams that in Kaepernick's case today that came up is the Texans. So to your point.
Well, Tennessee 3 weeks ago when Mariota went down, similar style, mobility, a lot of what you do, zone read, get him on the move. And they signed Brandon Weeden.
But that's what I'm saying. So understandably, okay, or not, but it, from a McNair standpoint, probably not going to go the Kaepernick route. But that's why people are even clamoring to look at Braxton Miller, who one time was a quarterback at Ohio State back in the day. But they're looking for guys. The fans seem to be smarter than the general manager and everybody. They looked at, hey, find someone that at least somewhat fits the role. Find someone athletic. Find someone that can get out to the edge. Barry and I were talking about this in the first two segments. I mean, the guys on their roster right now couldn't be further opposite from what Deshaun Watson was.
I said a few notches over on the dial, it's too bad, or maybe we need to research this, that Matt McGloin's middle name is Richard, and that somewhere in T.J. Yates there's some sort of Harry in his family tree, and they could have Tom, Dick, and Harry as their quarterback depth chart. That's what you call a reach.
Yeah.
Which
did
is
you
exactly
stretch before
what Bob
you did
McNair, what Bob McNair is do, or Bill O'Brien is doing and saying, I like the quarterbacks that we have. Well, you're the only one, unless we're talking about going to dinner where I'm sure there are three swell young guys.
And then the other thing that he said in his press conference, which I found to be hilarious as well, we've got to go back to the basics. What?
We're not already there.
What? Why are you going back to the basics? Didn't win you football games or put up points on the board, obviously. You have to go back to the basics because you have a basic quarterback.
And credit to Savage for facing the music and
yeah.
saying what was obvious. He played like crap. It is really hard with all the short stuff in the NFL today to complete only 9 of 29 passes at any stretch, which is how he started the game before the cosmetic too little too late stuff against a softened playing the clock Colts defense. And they tried to cover for him on the telecast. Well, do you think Tom Savage is rusty? I don't care if he was rusty. He's terrible. Well, Seaver was Tom terrific. Savage is Tom, the opposite of terrific.
Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, this is a guy that you have to question whether he belongs in the NFL at all, let alone a starter. And this was the guy that you guys both stated going out of training camp. Everybody was convinced was their guy, was their starter. How does that happen? And so who in the organization is responsible? Because it's just awful. It's hard to watch.
I'm looking at the list of free agent quarterbacks that are available.
It's not pretty.
If you exclude Colin Kaepernick, and I just run down it real quick.
Texans signed two of them, the two they thought were the best last
RG3,
week.
RG3, Sean Hill, Matt McGloin, Luke McCown, Dan Orlovsky, Christian Ponder, Thaddeus Lewis, TJ Yates, Matt Barkley, Zach Mettenberger, Aaron Murray. I mean, none of these guys are winning you games. At what point do you just say, you know what, at least our third-round picks will be high?
Yeah, the third-round picks will be high. And that
I mean, why try at this point? It almost would be detrimental to this team to sign Kaepernick. You're not going to win that many games anyways. You're not going to win any playoff games. Just get you as high a draft pick as possible by playing with Tom Savage.
And that there was no Braxton Miller Wildcat package evidently even considered. Coaching negligence might be a little
It's a package you ran for Arian Foster when he was playing. Why couldn't you also do the same thing for Braxton Miller? Okay, we'll continue to discuss it. We got to get to a break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Charlie's with us till 2. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Loot and Raider Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
These things are discussed, you know, basically daily, and it's not just one guy. You know, Colin Kaepernick's a good football player, hasn't played football in a while. But, you know, these things are discussed daily, and they'll continue to be discussed.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Charlie Palillo with us till the top of the hour and 2 p.m. as we continue to roll on. We were talking Texans. That was Billy O on the Kaepernick situation. And another quote regarding him possibly being mentioned as a fill-in. But, it's a very, very daunting and very, very disappointing situation if you're the Texans. But if you look at it, guys, I mean, look, we're looking at it, and everybody's kind of looking at, you know, where do we go next and what to do. And if you do play for the draft, like a lot of the fans that aren't very educated want you to do, you realize your draft starts with the third round because you don't have a first or a second. For whatever reason, if you want to put that on Rick Smith or the entire organization. But look, one, because you had to get the Browns to take your trash after you oversigned Brock Osweiler. And then two, to move up in the draft to get your franchise quarterback that unfortunately went down into Deshaun Watson. You don't have a one. You don't have a two. If you're not going to go to Kaepernick, it makes sense, or at least to me it does, to go and find guys that at least have some of the skill sets of Deshaun Watson athletically, which they don't have on the roster right now. But overall, when you started looking at this schedule, when Watson was playing the way he was, it looked like they could make a run. It looked like they were a legitimate team that could win the division and at least get to the playoffs. Now, I don't know where they're going.
Now, you said something there in the beginning that I'm going to disagree with.
It's fine. It's what we're here for.
Which is, you said, I'm assuming, that the take about just play as you are and try to get as best of as possible pick in the third round as an uneducated one. Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because most teams that tank because they're going to get the number one overall pick in the draft. They're going to get the first pick in the second round, which equates to a lower first round pick. Mm-hmm. And they can stockpile and get better in a hurry. In this case, they can't do that because their draft starts with the third round. And
they
so,
have three third round picks.
Okay, that's great.
So, I mean, if you're why go out and add somebody that you're not going to use to finish 8-8 instead of 6-10 and miss the playoffs regardless and affect that one pick that you can control where it ends up? Because one of them is a compensatory pick for AJ Bouye. The other one is Seattle's pick because of the Jeremy Lane failed physical thing. The one that you can't control is where your team finishes. At least if you get a higher pick than an 8-8 team, I mean, you might be picking in the top 10 of the third round. That's better than at the bottom of the third round in all three cases.
Well, nature will take its course because their season's functionally over now. I mean, they're two games behind both Jacksonville and Tennessee. The Texans have played all their divisional home games. So unless you think they're going to go win at Jacksonville and at Tennessee, plus the finale at Indianapolis, there's just no way in the division. The Jaguars are 5-3. humiliated the Texans here. Seems likely Jacksonville will win the rematch. So that's a three-game lead plus the tiebreaker. Jacksonville has four home games left with road games at Cleveland and at San Francisco. So it's over. Now maybe Buffalo collapses in that second wild card this year is 8-8. Yippee. But I don't see the Texans finishing 8-8 since they're probably going to be 3-6 after this Sunday. 11-point underdogs at the Rams.
What do you think? What do you guys think? I mean, you think they're finishing 7-9, 6-10?
In that range.
Yeah, I mean, if not worse than that. But, I mean, that's why I went to it initially. Because of the fact you don't have a 1, you don't have a 2, at least try and see what you can do. Because it's obviously, because of what Watson showed you could do and what you would do when you had a guy that could at least run the kind of system you want to run, that at least you make a run for it. But right now, I mean, look, we were looking at the schedule when we thought Deshaun Watson was, you know, going to be there the rest of the season, going, you know, there's a legitimate chance that they could win, you know, 75% of the remaining games. They could really go on a run here. But now, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to play for to maximize your third round pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Max, because, you know, it'd be different. I think I would feel different about trying to maximize that third round pick that you do have in control, and the rest of the rounds you'd be picking in the upper part of those rounds. If you had J.J. Watt, if you have Whitney Mercilus, if Brian Cushing was here, if the defense was intact and Colin Kaepernick is the difference, or adding a quarterback that could, then that to me makes the bigger difference. But they're already fighting with one hand tied behind their back. I mean, adding Colin Kaepernick isn't going to change other than how much you lose by if you make the playoffs.
And with three third round picks, this is awesome. Rick Smith kills the third round of the draft. Listen to this. Just within the last 5 years, Sam Montgomery,
hey,
Brennan Williams, Lewis Nix, Jalen Strong, Braxton Miller.
Man.
Got one.
At least if it's hot now.
So they extend C.J. Fedorowicz, also a third rounder 4 years back. They give him $7 million a year. They extend Ryan Griffin at about $3.5 million per year. Yet last week they were trying to acquire the overpaid and underachieving Jimmy Graham, who makes $10 million. They really have the feel of an organization that goes 4-12, 3-13 every year. When you look at the draft track record and how they can't get quarterback right, even when they get it right, Watson's knee goes out. But I just want to say this, for all of the rightful and withering criticism, a lot of Rick Smith's bungles and Billy Bluster's stuff, neither guy is incompetent in his job. You don't have one losing season in 6 years in the NFL with nothing better than average to the best of Matt Schaub, which was above average but nowhere close to franchise-level quarterback. If you're running an absolute joke of a franchise and you're a circus where nobody – they're not the Cleveland Browns.
I was just going to say, they're not the Browns,
the Dolts, the Aints, the Yuccaneers, those types. But when the goal seems to be to avoid being terrible rather than it is to really pursue excellence, what are you achieving? What are you accomplishing? How close to you are it? And they're light years away.
I'm just thinking – I'm just stuck on the – I mean, as a fan – I'm done with the season. I think the season is over. You can watch football if you want. To me, even adding a competent quarterback that can run the offense the way that Deshaun Watson ran it,
it can all be incremental improvement.
Well, that's right.
I mean, we're talking about a secondary that doesn't have any injuries anymore, and they gave up 300 passing yards to Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
No pass rush. Clowney's a very good football player. He's not a great pass rusher. He doesn't have the lateral quickness.
They got to him three times. But it's the Colts offensive line and it's Jacoby Brissett, so right. I don't think they're getting to golf three times necessarily. You know what I mean?
As constituted, this is a bad football team.
Yeah,
but you look at and again to kind of highlight
the home
defense.
The Colts.
Yeah, and to highlight the defense even further. A week earlier, Seattle's offense looked untouchable because they were putting up, you know, matching blow for blow, putting up point for point with Deshaun Watson and the Texans, and absolutely annihilated. Then all of a sudden, they play the Redskins yesterday. They had 2 points through three quarters. I mean, they were awful.
The Texans would beat Alabama by at least 21.
Start that now, because then if you want to start that, then we'll start talking about how Bill O'Brien would be a great fit at Texas A&M.
Oh, God.
Aggies of Houston might not concur so much with that.
Listen,
would stir it up even further.
No, I'm going to interject here as an Aggie fan and say, hell no.
And I'm pretty sure Kevin Sumlin, hot NFL ticket, won't be punched
out. That's not that happening. Either. Funny how things change.
Yeah.
All right, well, Charles, it's good to have you back in the fold and in the same studio and in the same city.
James Harden, good.
Not bad, yeah, and doing pretty well for your Rockets, who have the best record in the Western Conference. Best record in the NBA, really. So that's something we can talk about in the second hour of the show. But we have one in the books, two to go, plenty more to get to as we continue on The Usual Suspects. Love to have you a part of the show. 713-780-3776 is our phone number. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.